Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, contents, or beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Clark Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, or beliefs expressed on this show may not be the same of KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas.
Friends, my name is Kerry Clark, and of course I have with me this evening Brother David Harris. We want to say how much we appreciate you tuning in to the program. I do want to encourage, if you have the opportunity, to open in your Bibles to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, in just a moment, we're going to begin our reading in verse 12 and read down through verse number 21. If you've been with us in our program, then you understand that this is a live call-in talk show, and you may call us at 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473. You may also email us at keqx@rocketmail.com, and we can accept your questions or comments through either one of those. Also want to encourage you to go to our webpage, harrisandclark.org. Let your friends know about that. They can go to that webpage, and they can actually follow the link. There's a Listen Live button. Follow that and follow the instructions, and they can listen to us on the web as well. But we've been going through and looking at the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Obviously, the point that we're trying to draw from is that if we will look at the life of Jesus and then copy that life in our lives, then obviously we're going to be acceptable in the eyes of God. We notice, first of all, that Jesus was a man of prayer. Also, we notice that Jesus was a man of logic. We notice that when Jesus dealt with people, he was impartial. We saw that Jesus was a man of power. We saw that Jesus is our dearest friend, that Jesus is a man of peace. And in Mark chapter 7, we saw that Jesus did everything well. And we looked at him as being a man of proper values. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Yet, even being King of kings, we learn that Jesus was a servant of all, that he was a man of principle. We also notice that Jesus was a man of firmness. And that leads us up to our discussion this evening, and we're going to be talking about Jesus as a man of discernment. Now, when we look at the word discernment, what in the world does that word, or what in the world does that word mean? Well, discernment is the quality of being able to grasp and comprehend that which is obscure. It has the idea that we have skill in discerning. As we've already pointed out, Jesus last week was a man of vigilance. He was ever watchful. He encouraged his disciples to be watchful as well. And so we're going to notice that Jesus is a man of discernment. And David, I don't know about you, but I am shocked by the lack of discernment that exists in the world today. We don't have, in my estimation, we don't have people that have the ability to understand what's right and wrong.
Well, absolutely, Kerry. We have a real problem this day and age in the religious world, even.
Yes.
Not just in the secular world, but in the religious world.
That's
of
right.
People distinguishing or discerning between that which is evil and that which is good.
And you're exactly right. You know, friends, if you stop and think about it, the Bible gives us the knowledge that we need in order to understand what God would have us to do. The Bible tells us, for instance, in Proverbs chapter 1, that even a wise man can become wiser by a study of the Word of God. And so God's Word will give us the education that we need so that we can make mental discernment and we can have moral skillfulness. And so, David, I'm going to ask you, if you would, to read from Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse number 12, reading through verse 21. And friends, think about Jesus having the ability to judge a circumstance and then know the difference in right and wrong, and even know the person, whether they're living that way that is right or not. So, David, you might want to add some comments and then read Mark 14.
We want to see the discerning nature of Jesus, because we have been going through this Bible, and we have been looking at the book of Mark, and we're pulling out one lesson in the book of every chapter of the book of Mark, and the lesson today is Jesus Christ, a man of discernment. This is going to be the key. The key to this entire lesson is going to be our own need for discernment.
Amen.
Because if we will follow the steps of Jesus, and we are going to be like him, and that's exactly what God wants us to be. So in Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 12, "And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, Where wilt thou that we go and prepare that you may eat the Passover? And he sends forth two of his disciples, and says unto them, Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, The master says, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. And his disciples went forth, and came into the city, and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And in the evening he comes with his 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, one of you which eats with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful, and to say unto him one by one, Is it I? And another said, Is it I? And he answered and said unto them, It is one of the 12 that dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goes, as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born."
You know, David, you look at those words, and very obviously Jesus is telling us that he is a man of discernment. He knew that Judas was going to betray him. But David, not only that, Jesus said there was a woe pronounced upon the person who is going to betray our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he said it'd be better off if you'd never been born. Now, is that not discernment? Is that not what we're talking
Absolutely.
About?
Absolutely. Distinguishing that which is evil between that which is good. Now, he had 12 men there with him.
Yes.
And 11 of them were good, He's making the discernment right here between the one man that is not. And that one man, of course, we know to be Judas Iscariot, as is mentioned over in Matthew, in the parallel account in Matthew. And so he makes the distinction between that which is good and that which is bad. Now, it's interesting that he does make this distinction, because many people base the way that they act, the way whether they are honest, or whether they are moral, or whether they're going to act good or in a righteous manner, they base it upon the way and the will of the world. What
okay.
does the world seem to think that I need to be? And that's what people want to be. They want to be popular. They want to be acceptable to the world. And so they base their entire human character upon that which the world says is good, and that which not which God says which is good. But here we see that Jesus Christ is using the standard of God, the standard of righteousness, the standard which is given to us in the revealed word, which we can hold in our hand. That is the basis upon which he is making this discernment. It has absolutely nothing to do with the way that the world thinks that we ought to be.
Well, David, you mentioned seeing a program on television, and the guy made the comment that even a lie can be good for the soul, or something along
yes.
the...
He told this girl that was trying to make another girl feel good about the way that she was feeling, and she told her just an outright lie, and the boss of everyone that was there, he says, you see, sometimes a lie is good for the soul. Now, this is a horrific way to show somebody that you care.
But David, isn't that what we see in our society today? Don't we see people that they would rather hear a lie and feel good than to hear the truth? And then to feel bad about what they're doing and then make the necessary change. They'd just say, well, just go ahead and lie to me.
Right. That's exactly what they would say. But that's exactly what Jesus is trying to teach us here, is that his discernment is going to be based upon the truth, and never will it ever be based upon a lie.
Okay. Friends, give us a call at 254-445-2473. If you have a question or comment, as we've said, this program is live. You can call in. You can give us your questions and comments. And friends, I want to ask you, are David and I misrepresenting the fact, or do we not have a lot of people in the world today that would rather have somebody lie to them and make them feel good than to hear the truth and have to do something about it? You know, David, I look at the political realm that we live in right now. There are promises that are being made by our politicians, and I'm not just talking about Democrats. I'm talking about Republicans. I'm talking about independents, and I'm talking about libertarians and whatever political group you want. But we would rather people lie to us than to face the hard, cold facts of reality. Now, friends, if I'm wrong in that, give us a call at 254-445-2473. Let's talk about it.
Absolutely. Let's talk about it.
But, David, what about in the spiritual realm?
In the spiritual realm, we have people wanting to hear the very same thing.
Okay.
And this is not anything new. This has nothing to do with the year 2000. As a matter of fact, we can go all the way back into the book of Isaiah.
Yes.
And God speaking through Isaiah, in chapter 5 in verse 20, he says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Woe unto them that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Now, what he's saying here is we've got religious folks, even back then, that are putting evil up and calling it good. They're putting light or dark up and they're calling it light, and people are following like a bunch of sheep that don't know to find their own way.
You know, David, a similar circumstance happened in Jeremiah chapter 6, and you remember this as well.
Absolutely.
But Jeremiah is writing, and he's talking to those that were spiritual leaders, and he said to them in verse number 14, Jeremiah 6 and verse 14, "They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." We have a lot of people running around today in the spiritual realm. Now I realize this is happening in the political and the physical realm, but David and I are concerned with the spiritual realm. We've got a lot of false teachers that are out there, friends, and we need to call them what they are. They're false teachers.
Right.
And they're saying, well, if you just simply accept Jesus into your heart, you're going to be saved. Or if you say the sinner's prayer, you're going to be saved, and all these things. And just like in the days of Jeremiah, they're crying, peace, peace, but that doesn't bring peace between man and God, because the only way we can come to God is through his terms and not through some term that a man has dreamed up.
Absolutely. You are absolutely right. And the key here is the discernment, again, being able to distinguish what is right and what is acceptable to God. And we have two words that we use. And it seems like when you throw these two words out here into the religious world or into the secular world, either, that they want to just throw their hands up and scream. One word is righteous. The other word is judgmental.
Yes.
And if you make a judgment, according to the secular world and many people in the religious world, if you make a judgment concerning right and wrong, good and evil, which Jesus just got through making concerning yes. Judas and the rest of the apostles, making that discernment, people want to scold you and scold you for having the audacity to make a judgment and say, well, you're just being way too judgmental. You're just being way too judgmental, even though we are told by Jesus himself to be judgmental.
Did you hear that, friends? We're told by Jesus Christ himself to be judgmental. How did Jesus develop this discernment? I guess that's a question that we ought to raise. And I think we find the answer in Hebrews chapter 5.
Amen.
Beginning in verse number 8. Hebrews 5 and verse number 8. Watch this. though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Now let's pause there, David, and use this as an illustration. If you tell a child not to touch something because it's hot, 9 times out of 10, they're going to touch it anyway and find out for themselves whether they're going to get burned or not. Jesus, brethren, friends, Jesus learned discernment and obedience through the things that he suffered. That's what the Hebrew writer says.
Mm-hmm.
Verse number 9, it says, "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that," and here's a dirty word in our language today, "obey him."
Right.
Well, you don't have to be obedient. Are you trying to earn your salvation? Jesus became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. He goes on to write in verse 10, Hebrews 5 and verse 10, "Called of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." Now listen to this. "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by, listen, reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." David, does an athlete become, and I'm talking about a world-class athlete. I'm not talking about, you know, a Friday night football. I'm talking mm-hmm. about someone that's in the Olympics or maybe made it to the professional level. Do they have to physically exercise their body so that they can be able to accomplish basketball, baseball, whatever it is?
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
And usually many hours in a day.
Absolutely.
The professional athlete might spend 4 hours in the gym working out before they ever get out onto the field and do what they're going
mm-hmm.
to do.
Mm-hmm.
Is the Bible not telling us that if we are going to be spiritual, mature people, we've got to exercise ourselves to discern between good and evil?
Absolutely. And that's just exactly what he said. Even those who by reason of use.
Use. You got to use.
Reason of use. You've got to use it or you're going to lose it.
That's right.
It's just like a muscle that will atrophy if you isolate it and make it where it won't move. It will absolutely atrophy. It'll just fall off of you. And,
yeah.
and so will your spiritual discernment if you do not use it.
So in order for us to be a spiritual person, we must exercise the Spirit so that we'll know the difference between right and wrong.
That's correct.
So if somebody doesn't know the difference between right and wrong, David, for instance, you're studying with somebody and you bring up a particular topic and they say, "Well, I don't see any harm in it."
Right.
We often study with people about, as members of the Church of Christ, we do not use mechanical instruments of music in the worship to God.
Mm-hmm.
And when you study with somebody, they will usually make the comment, "Well, I don't see any harm in it." David, is that person skillful or unskillful in the word of righteousness?
In the word of righteousness, that individual would be unskillful.
Because they haven't discerned between good and evil.
They have not discerned between what God said is right and what God said is wrong.
Friends, hopefully that will generate some discussion. So give us a call at 254-445-2473 or email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. We would love to hear from you. David, I know that you want to hear some calls. I want to hear
Absolutely.
Some calls. Friends, we're opening up the lines. Get on the phone. Talk to us about this kind of stuff.
What many people call judgmental actually has to do with the discernment.
That's right.
Of mankind. And God certainly expects us to discern that which is right and that which is wrong, that which is good, that which is evil. We look at the word and the term righteousness, and a lot of people throw it out there as if it's a cuss word. Well, you're just a righteous person.
Yeah.
Well, I hope I am.
If you want to go to heaven, you better be.
I strive to be. And all in the world that word righteous means is right according to God. And, folks, we're up against a break. For those of you who do not like to call during the show, we've got a break for you coming up. It's 254-445-2473. Give us a call and let us know what you think. Whether you agree or disagree, we want to know what you think about discernment, righteousness, and the judgmental nature of mankind. We'll see you after the break. Welcome back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris. I have here with me Kerry Clark. And we are considering Mark chapter 14, Jesus, a man of discernment. And what we have established so far is that Jesus is a judgmental individual.
Oh, that ought to get somebody riled up.
He is always wanting us to be equally as judgmental as he is. But there are criteria.
That's right.
We can't just be judgmental on our own accord. We've got to have guidelines in order for us to make judgments. And in Matthew chapter 7, Kerry,
yes,
and in verse number 15, Jesus here shows us in his Sermon on the Mount the judgment call that he's making here. This is a matter of discernment. And we talked about and we identified what discernment is, the quality of being able to grasp and comprehend that which is obscure. It is the ability to distinguish between that which is right and that which is wrong. But now we've got to have a standard for right and a standard for wrong. But here in Matthew chapter 7, as he is teaching the multitude that is listening to this great Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits." Now, Kerry, right here, he makes a couple of statements that are certainly judgmental. They are certainly discerning of that which is right and that which is wrong. He says, first of all, beware of false prophets. Well, he's already accused somebody of teaching a falsehood.
That's right.
Already. So he has made a discernment that there are those that are teaching the truth. There are those that are teaching falsehoods. He says, beware of those individuals that are teaching falsehoods. He said, inwardly, they which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. So they disguise themselves as teachers of the truth, but inwardly, they're a bunch of sorry dogs.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, they are ravening wolves, and a ravening wolf is going to tear and destroy whatever he can get to accomplish his purpose.
So, David, is Jesus telling us that there are men out there that are set on destroying God's people?
Religious men that are out there.
Yes.
Religious men that are out there aiming to destroy God's will, God's doctrine, because they don't like it. They don't like it. And by the way, the individuals that don't like the doctrine of Christ, they're being kind of judgmental, aren't they?
Well, yes.
I would think. I mean, if I were having to make an educated guess here of being judgmental, anybody that would try to destroy the doctrine of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a very judgmental individual. And so he's telling us right here that we have false teachers out there who are trying to destroy the truth because they don't like it.
Well, David, you know, you stop and you think about it. When someone says to you or someone says to me that you're being legalistic, you're being a Pharisee, are they not? Am I completely missing this? But haven't they become judgmental in their attitude toward us?
Absolutely. And by the way, I would love for people to call me legalistic.
Yes.
Because I want to do what is right. Well, if I'm not legalistic, what does that mean? I'm illegal?
Yeah, that's right.
I don't want to be that. And for somebody to call me a Pharisee, there was nothing wrong with the Pharisees that were adhering to the law. They were the pure, faithful Pharisee was adhering to the law of Moses and living under it completely without sin. Well, not completely without sin, but to the very best of their ability.
Yes.
And while they were living that life, they were indeed a Pharisee. Now, the condemnation to the other Pharisees comes because they are disregarding the legality of the law of Moses, and they've gone about to establish their own doctrine.
Yes.
Their own tradition, if you will.
Friends, give us a call at 254-445-2473. again, we would love for you to let us know your thoughts, your questions, your comments, because David and I have said some things that I would think that many people would think they don't agree with us. Was Jesus judgmental? That's a question that we need to ask and we need to answer. And we need to answer it not according to our opinion, but according to the Word of God.
Right.
So, friends, we want you to give us a call. Again, we keep giving the number out because we want you to have it handy. 254-445-2473. Jesus, a man of discernment. Jesus said, in as David's already read, in Matthew chapter 5, that, Matthew chapter 7, in verse number 20, he says, "By their fruits you shall know them." Friends, that's how we make a spiritual... David, we don't look at somebody and say, "Oh, I don't like you because of the color of your skin."
No.
We don't look at somebody and say, "I don't like you because you drive a car that is inferior to my car." I don't judge you because you live in a house that's smaller than my house. Those are not righteous judgments. Those are judgments that are based upon a human standard.
Right.
Jesus did not judge in that fashion, did he?
No. No, he did not. He judged righteous judgments. And again, that word righteous is very important.
Yes.
That is right according to God. And he commands us to do the very same thing. And as you just got through reading, "By their fruits you shall know them." And this brings me to a question. How do you know a person is honest? How do you know a person is honest? Well, by your fruits you shall know them. Do you walk up to a person, Kerry, and automatically know that this is an honest person? I can see it in his eyes.
Well, a lot of people in the world think so.
Evidently. But you don't really know if a person is honest until you see his fruits.
That's right.
And once you have seen his proven track record, then you can know that he is an honest or a dishonest individual. You can make the judgment based upon fact.
Well, David, we raised an interesting point. We have an idea going back very early in the program. We said that we heard a quote, "Even a lie can do a soul some good."
Mm-hmm.
We are raised in a society that says that lying's okay as long as it's said to benefit somebody.
Right. Yeah, and we call that a white lie.
Yeah, a little white lie.
Yeah. Now, that you won't find that in the book.
That's right. I think we have a caller on the line. Okay, maybe we don't. But anyway, we're talking about the fact that there are people that will lie, and then they will make it out as if that's okay.
Right.
It's just a little white lie, and it's not a great big black lie is what they're saying.
Yeah.
I don't understand this, but doesn't the Bible say something about all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone?
Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8.
So all liars, A-L-L, what liar does that leave out?
Well, it certainly didn't leave the white liar out.
You know, friends, we need to understand that telling a falsehood is condemned in the Word of God in so many places that it would be hard for us to enumerate how many times God has said, "Don't lie, don't bear false witness, don't do these things." And yet we've got a host of people that think, well, you know, David, and they argue like this. I always love that. If your grandma comes in,
mm-hmm,
and she's got this hat on that's really kind of ugly, and it looks like, you know, maybe something that Minnie Pearl might have worn with the tag still hanging on, and she says, "Well, how do you like my new hat?" And that's supposed to be this great moral dilemma that nobody can answer because we don't want to hurt Grandma's feelings. And so we say, "Oh, Grandma, that's just the loveliest hat. I wish I had one like it." Is that not lying?
Certainly it is. It's misrepresenting the truth. And when you look at the righteousness of God, there is nothing in the Word of God that would suggest, not even for a moment, that we should misrepresent the truth in order to make other people feel good. Now, people have taken what you have explained here. By the way, our telephone number is 254-445-2473. People have taken what you have explained here and put it in the religious realm, and they have taken it about five steps on down the road here.
Yeah.
Now there's old Susie over there. She's been married and divorced four or five times, and she has absolutely no way, according to Scripture, that she can be in a legal, scriptural, biblical marriage because of the way that she has done in the past. She can't get over the adulterous situation that she's in, but we're not going to tell her the truth here because we don't want to hurt her feelings. Now, all in the world that's going to do is send little Susie to hell if she can't figure out how to fix that which is wrong.
That's right. Friends, what we're saying is Jesus recognized by what people said and by what people did, whether they were a righteous person or not. Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him. How did Jesus know? Because of the past actions of Judas. Jesus knew what kind of individual Judas was. So my question is, what has happened to our spiritual discernment? Friends, there are a lot of people that don't even recognize a false teacher when they teach error. And no. We need, like Jesus Christ, to redevelop our listening skills, and we need to have spiritual discernment. Now, David, I mentioned this week I went to a funeral of an individual and had a man that got up, and for an hour he proclaimed his false doctrine. Jehovah's Witness, by the way, is what he was. At least that's what it sounded like. And the Bible that he was carrying was the New World Translation, which is a Jehovah's Witness translation. And people recognized that immediately as something that was wrong because, David, it was so foreign to anything that people had heard. Well, they were automatically on guard. Well, that doesn't sound right. But then somebody else might have slipped in, and if they had got up and said, well, you know, we're saved by faith only, which is a subtle difference in what the Bible teaches, and they would have had no problem with that. Is that not because we don't have spiritual discernment?
Exactly what the reason we don't have spiritual discernment. We cannot recognize that which is righteous, that which is right according to God, and that which is not. We cannot recognize because of a lack of study. Now, we are told in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Now, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, study to show yourself approved unto God. We are going to have to stand the test, Kerry.
That's right.
We're going to have to stand before God. We're going to have to be approved before God. Now, he says for us to study in order that we can be able to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, the word of God is put here for our good and for our learning. And if it is that we don't break open the book, if we don't break open this bread of life, that's not God's fault.
That's right.
That is not God's fault. We get back to this word that we were talking about just a second ago, that word honest and honesty. And we read in Romans chapter 12 and verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Now, if it is honest, that means it is good morally. It
yes.
is good righteously according to God. And the only way that that can be is it's got to be the truth. And if you don't have the truth, you don't have anything.
Well, David, if you don't have the truth, by the very wording, that tells us that we have untruth.
Right.
We need to understand, friends, and this is the point that David and I are trying to get us to understand. There is right, there is wrong, there is light, there is darkness, there is truth, there is error, there is falsehood, there is the truth, and people need to understand that. David, we hear people say, well, that's kind of a gray area. We don't really, you know, and the implication of that is, well, it's somewhere between truth and error. Friends, I want you to understand there is no gray area. Either something is right or it's wrong. Now, that's what spiritual discernment tells us, does it not?
Absolutely. We've got to have the spiritual discernment. The only way that we can know is through the truth. Now, John chapter 17 and verse 17, Jesus identifies the truth for us. When he prays to the Father, he says, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, the only truth in this whole world is the Word of God.
That's right.
That is the only truth that there is. Now, if we tell the truth, we'll have it backed up by the Word of God.
Yeah.
Now, we can't have truth, we can't have honesty outside of the Word of God. You can't have it. It's just not there. An atheist can have no truth. He makes up his own truth.
David, we said it earlier, the thought is, a lie's okay because it might do a soul good.
Absolutely.
That is the mantra of what we see in our society today is, we don't want to tell somebody the truth because we're afraid they're going to hurt their feelings. Now, like you said earlier, we may just watch them head down the highway to hell and not try to stop it. Excuse me. But that's the thought that we have in our society today.
Right. And it's a horrible thought because what we have here is, and Jude even talks about it, about saving souls. He said some of them you're going to have to pull out of the fire. You're going to have to yank out of the fire with fear. And others, because you have compassion on them, you pull them out. But the point that Jude is making, and this is inspiration, Jude is just the penman, the point that he's making there is if they don't know the house is on fire, how are you going to save them? You've got to tell them the truth.
Well, David, and if you walk up, if you're driving down the road and you see a house that's on fire, and it's, let's say it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and you happen to be out and you drive down the road and you see a house burning, do you walk up and lightly tap on the door and say, excuse me, I think your house might be on fire?
We've got a sense of urgency.
We've got a sense of urgency, and people have lost this sense of urgency, whether something is right or whether it's wrong. And friends, we've got to get back to that. If you've got a question or comment, we're up against a break right now. Give us a call at 254-445-2473 or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. We'll see you on the other side of the break. Friends, welcome back to the Harrison Clark Expedition as we journey through the Bible together. We do want to remind you that, excuse me, I'm having a little tickle in my throat, but we're talking about Jesus being a man of discernment. We're talking about right and wrong. We're talking about evil, darkness. We're comparing these things, and I do believe that we have a caller on the phone. If you would just go ahead and give us, if you want, your name and then your question or comment.
Caller? Oh, this is Thomas. Yeah, this is Thomas.
Nice to see you, Thomas.
Oh, yeah. This is only the second time I got to hear your program, and I wanted to tell you that, or just make the comment that you are supposed to upset us and you're supposed to uplift us and you're doing all of that. Y'all are doing a fine job. I mean, you know, you've made me angry. You've made me remember. I used to call it you stepped on my toes and reminded me of the things I'm not doing. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that I get judgmental about. And people that I want to stand against and realize that, well, I'm not supposed to do that. I'm not supposed to, how do you word that? I'm not supposed to support an activity that's wrong.
Absolutely.
You're exactly right, Thomas, and we appreciate that.
And, but y'all, I have really loved listening to y'all, and I've been trying my best to get in close enough where I could get a signal on this little cell phone, and finally I did. So, y'all are doing a great job.
Well, thank you, Thomas. We really appreciate it. And don't forget that you can pick us up on the web now. KEQX is live on the web, and you can tune right in. You can go to the harrisandclark.org, and you can catch us at your home. Wherever you live, it doesn't make any difference. We've even had been contacted here from Baghdad.
That's
and so
right.
we know we can get out there a good ways. And we do appreciate you calling in, appreciate your comments, and keep up the good work on your end, and we hope to hear from you again.
I certainly hope so.
Thank you, Tom.
And thank you.
Well, we appreciate calls like that. Friends, if we have stepped on your toes, as Thomas said. That's a saying that we hear quite a bit. And when somebody said that to me when I'm preaching, David, I always say, well, I had pretty bad aim because I was aiming for your heart,
absolutely,
not your toes.
Absolutely. You got to have a little heart change here.
But friends, what we're talking about is Jesus being a man of discernment, knowing the difference between right and wrong, knowing the difference between truth and error. And not only that, friends, the point that David and I are really making is, as Christians, we've got to develop that same attitude in our life.
Right.
We've got to be able to know the difference between right and wrong. And David, as we've already said, the only way that we can do that is based on 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15, where the Bible tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright the word of truth. David, we must study. And then when we think we know it all, we need to study some more, and we need to study some more, and we need to find out what the Word of God teaches, and we need to practice it in our lives, and then we need to go out and teach the world what the Bible says. And David, that's the only way that we're going to change. You hear a lot of people that are upset with the way things are going in America right now. Mm-hmm. Well, how are we going to change it? Let's get back to the books. That's what this nation was founded upon.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Get back to the Word of God.
And this is far-reaching. We've been talking about honesty.
Yes.
And we need to be properly discerning that which is honest, that which is right. But we also need to be properly discerning that which is moral.
That's right.
We have an obligation as God's children to discern that which is moral. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 2, when Paul wrote the letter or penned the letter to the church at Corinth, this was written, the author is the Holy Spirit. But in verse 2, he says, but they have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Ooh. Now, again, we have pointed out for us that there are people out there that want to handle the word of God deceitfully. Now, in order to be able to make a righteous judgment, which we are commanded to do in John chapter 7 and verse 24, in order to make that righteous judgment, it gets right back to what you were talking about just a moment ago, Kerry. We've got to study, and we've got to study some more. Now, Jesus is our example here. Jesus is telling us to judge the fruit. He's telling us to not know these individuals by their fruit. Now, if we don't know what the fruit is, we can't judge it.
That's exactly right. And you asked the question earlier, can you know a person's honest the first time they meet you? You know, David, and I'm not trying to pick on the women, but sometimes, you know, women will say, well, I could just tell that they were a good person by looking into their eyes.
Yeah, that women's intuition, I guess.
Yeah. It sounds like that we do have another caller on the line. And so, caller, we appreciate your call. If you have a question or comment, we'd love to hear it.
Well, this is Michael from over in Brown County. We're picking you all up, by the way, on the Internet tonight between Bangs and Coleman. And just about tying that thought with what you're saying right there, you know, sometimes we're very sensitive to why people do what they do. And I'm not against, you know, we ought to know that, of course, but from the Bible standpoint, if you do what's wrong, the reasoning behind it doesn't matter one bit. I think there's a lot of folks that may honestly be ignorant, may really think they're doing what's right. But if we're not doing what's right, we're going to lose our souls over it. And I think sometimes people hear, programs like y'all's, maybe get a little bit, get their feelings hurt, you know, well, you're saying this and you're saying that. We're not saying that folks necessarily are intentionally where they are. Now, some are just outright false teachers and know it, but a lot of folks think you're doing what's right, but if you miss heaven by accident, you still miss heaven. You know?
Absolutely, and that's a very, very good point. And it still has to do with discernment, doesn't it?
Sure it does.
You know, Michael, I was teaching the young folks one time, the young kids in a class, and they said, well, you're making it sound like if we just miss it by a little bit, we're going to miss heaven. And, of course, they're all into the Internet and stuff. And you ask them, when you type in a web page, if you misspell it by one letter, will you go to the right web page?
That's good illustration.
obviously, the kids are going to say, well, no. And does that make you mad? Well, no, I made a mistake. It's the very same thing when it comes to spiritual things. We can miss it by one bit and still miss heaven.
That's right.
And it's serious.
Good work up, and y'all drive careful on those wet roads tonight.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling, Michael.
All right.
Call us again.
You bet.
All appreciate right. your comments.
Friends, again, what we're saying is that we've got to get it right in order for us to go to heaven. And that's what we're not here to be mean-spirited or ugly or anything like that, but we are here as gospel preachers, men who have studied the book, and we're trying to help you have spiritual discernment in your life so that you will know the difference between right and wrong.
And, you know, Kerry, we keep repeating this over and over and over, and we will continue to repeat it. You have heard what men have said. Now, let's just listen to what the Bible has to say. Let's just throw everything out that you've ever been told from a man, and let's just hear what God has to say. After all, this is God's Word. After all, Jesus did say that this Word is the truth. What is wrong with God's Word in guiding us into what is right and wrong? There can be no better guide than this. There is no better guide than this. And there will never be a man on the face of this earth that knows more than God.
You know, David, there's a friend, and you know him as well. I think he held a meeting over here at Hillcrest within the last couple of years, David Baker. But I remember
right.
he's got a sermon, and the title for that sermon is A Way That Is Right and Cannot Be Wrong.
Mm-hmm.
God has given us a way that we know it's the right way, and if I don't deviate from that, I'm not going to be wrong.
Right.
And so we go to the Word of God. We mentioned instrumental music earlier, and we mentioned that God has taught us through His Word that He wants us to simply sing without the addition of mechanical instruments of music in the worship to God. And David, I know that's the right way.
Right.
And I know that that way cannot be wrong because the Bible says sing.
Right.
It doesn't say sing and play. It says sing.
Right. And that's the only thing it authorizes us to do. This is something that we're getting from God, who in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 says God cannot lie. It's not that He will not lie. It's that He cannot lie.
It's impossible.
And so here we have a God that cannot lie. He is telling us the truth. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that has promised.
Yes.
He is not going to deviate from the truth. He is faithful. He is straight as an arrow. He is just as straight as the plumb line that Amos
yes,
talks about.
That's right.
It doesn't get any straighter than that. And when we go to God's Word, throw out what men have said, let's just look at what the Bible said. If the Bible authorizes it, it's going to be good.
That's right.
If the Bible does not authorize it, it's going to be bad.
That's right.
And that's just a simple discernment that God expects us to make each and every time that we read this Word. Now, if we never read the Word, we're going to have a very, very difficult time wading our way through this secular world here that tells us that bad is good and good is bad.
Yeah.
Oh, it's bad for young men to be virgins at 21 years old, according to the world.
Yeah.
According to God, it's the only way to be.
That's right.
But this society won't have it.
Yeah.
You turn on your television, you listen to some of the lyrics and some of the songs that are played in any place, and the lyrics of a song will encourage you on most times to be what God does not want you to be.
Well, and David, you could demonstrate that over and over again. And friends, I want to say that what David and I are talking about, especially when we talk about singing in the worship, that we do not use mechanical instruments in the worship of God. Friends, we're not saying that every use of a mechanical instrument's wrong.
No, not at all.
There might be an instance where somebody plays a song that is not a spiritual song, that has a good moral message, or maybe it's a song and it's not a spiritual song at all. It's just a good instrumental. David and I are not saying that's wrong. What we're saying is the Bible teaches that God said when it comes to worshiping Him, that we're to sing and make melody in our hearts, and that excludes mechanical instruments of music in the worship to God.
And one thing that I think a lot of people are overlooking in that particular thing, and we're talking about discernment, discernment that is based upon the truth of God's Word. One thing that a lot of people overlook here is the fact that God is the object of our devotion. We're not singing to please ourselves, yet we are singing one to another in chorus to God when we come together and worship. We are worshiping God, and He is the object of our worship. He is the object of our praise. And in order to please Him, the only way that we can do it is the way that He has authorized us to do it.
And David, I don't think that is something that we would find foreign to most of the ways that we... If you tell your child to go down to the grocery store and buy eggs and milk, and they come in with Snickers candy bar, and they come in with Cheetos and Fritos and potato chips and Cokes and all this, do you think your child did what you told them to do when you told them to go down and get eggs and milk? And they bring back all this other stuff? Well, you would say, how dare you do that? What are you thinking? I didn't tell you to get all that. I told you to get eggs and milk. And yet, when it comes to God saying, sing, we want to act like, well, this, I've never heard anything. It goes back to spiritual discernment.
Absolutely.
We don't have any spiritual discernment.
And you know what we would say as a parent? If that child said, well, you didn't say not to.
That's right.
Say, now my child would get in big trouble for being surly.
Yeah.
Being surly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly right. If your child said, well, you didn't tell me not to. And I think David makes a very valid point on the day of judgment. Are you really going to be willing to stand before God and say, God, I couldn't find a thou shalt not anywhere in the book about mechanical instruments of music?
Or thou shalt not do a lot of immoral things that are not specifically outlined in this book. Friends, the law of exclusion is part of this discernment. When God said to do something, it automatically excludes everything else. This is a law of exclusion. It is also a law of discernment that we're going to have to understand. This is what Jesus is trying to teach us throughout His book here. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, we are told that He is our example and that we are to follow His steps. People beat on their chest and point up into the air and say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But when it comes to Jesus' word, they don't want to have anything to do with it because they don't like it.
Well, and didn't Jesus tell us that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, in Matthew 7 and verse number 21?
Absolutely.
And David, you bring up a good point. We want to shout Jesus, but then like Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9, this people draweth nigh unto me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.
Right.
You know, we claim with our mouth. David, we see it a lot of times in professional athletes. They make a touchdown and they kneel down and they say a prayer or they do the sign of the cross, and then you get them interviewed in the locker room and every other word out of their mouth's a cuss word.
Yeah, have to bleep them out.
You had to bleep them out. But now, he was on the field of play. He was showing, I'm going to bow down, I'm going to say a prayer. But then his mouth, Jesus said, by their fruits you'll know them.
Right.
And the fruit of the mouth is what's important. Well, friends, we are out of time this evening. Jesus is a man of discernment. We need to be a people of discernment. And friends, if David and I didn't help you with anything else, we hope that we've showed you that the Bible says in order to go to heaven, we've got to know the difference between right and wrong and do it.
Right.
David.
And the right and the wrong that we're looking at here is not the right and the wrong according to the world. It's not right and wrong according to Dear Abby or Dr. Phil or anybody else. It's right and wrong according to the Word of God. And that Word has been revealed to us. It has been preserved. And I know that everybody listening to this program has at least one Bible in their house.
Yes.
And all we've got to do is open up the book. It's not God's fault, friends. if we don't study to show ourselves approved unto God. We want to thank you for listening to the program. We want to thank all those that called in, and we want to bless wish everybody and hope everybody has a good, safe trip as they drive these little treacherous roads today. Yes. And we will see you next Monday. God bless.